Welcome back to Develop Lex. Today you have just me, Weston, in the studio, and I am in the Awesome Inc. studio. Shout out Awesome Inc. And I am here with Jake Reardon. I was just explaining to Jake before we kind of started talking. We've given a lot of the light on developers that have made the city what it is. And so I think something that we really want to put an emphasis on, obviously we'll continue hitting people that have made Lexington the place that we all live and thrive. But we also want to highlight some people that are doing really cool projects in Lexington and kind of a next gen of developers, real estate investors, you know, people that cultivate community in the city. So Jake has a few different projects in Lexington that we're going to touch on in particular, but I think the thing to think through when listening to an interview like this is hopefully in 20 to, you know, however many years, like the people that we have on this season, you know, will hopefully be at the forefront of some of the cool projects that they do. So anyway, I'll let Jake introduce himself, but Jake Reardon, he's a principal of TaylorMade Development in Lexington, and we'll get into some of his background, but I'll let him take it away. So Jake, welcome on.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
First time on a podcast, so yeah, I'm a little nervous.
The good thing is not live radio, so anything you say will not be held against you.
Well, that's less exciting.
Yeah, yeah, or we don't have to. So we'll get into a little bit of your background and then maybe get into the nitty gritty of what you do day to day. So give us a little bit of background, where you grew up, education, what gets you excited, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I grew up in Gainesville, Florida. I'm a Gator, went to the University of Florida. Most Kentucky fans. It's weird. Kentucky hates Florida, but Florida doesn't hate Kentucky at all. Like Florida, our rivals are like Florida State, you know, Miami, Tennessee, LSU, in that order. So I feel like Kentucky, it's like Louisville, Tennessee, and then it's like Florida.
Yeah.
Florida's not on Kentucky's radar, but for some reason,
Kentucky, it's because you guys beat us like how many times?
Yeah, place, you guys have got us the last three times in football.
Yeah, hard to not make some sort of fake rivalry out of that.
Like I say, it's hard to beat somebody 37 times in a row in football. But no, I grew up in Gainesville. I went to school down there. I played baseball at Florida. I lived down there a little while after coached and taught school, actually. I taught high school. And then I moved up here in 06.
Okay.
So my wife and I moved up here in 06. We got five kids. They've all born here. My first one was born here in June of 07, and we've been here ever since. This is home now. Love Lexington. It's a great place to raise a family, and
yeah,
it's a cool city. Yeah. I hate the winter, but we go down to Florida and, you know, warm up a little bit and then come back.
I would too. Today we, just to date this interview, though it'll come out next week, it was February 23rd. I do know that today supposed to be around 60. Tomorrow, I believe it's supposed to snow. And then Monday, I think we get up to like 68.
Yeah, 68 or 9 next week.
So you've obviously been in Lexington long enough to realize that it's like a fake winter and fake spring.
Mm-hmm. My baseball team will be out in we'll be taking ground balls on the field in February, which is, we never do that.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, cool. So went to Florida from the area. What have been some stark contrasts, and then two, this is just getting into your background, but what have been some stark contrasts of growing up in somewhere like Florida and then moving to Lexington? Was there a big learning curve?
Yeah, you know, Lexington, and I love it. I do love it. It can be a little bit of a tough town. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, kind of groups and pockets of people. I think most of the people here in Lexington are beautiful people, and it's a great town. Lexington is a little tough. I mean, there's, you know, if you're an outsider and you didn't grow up here, and you know, there's a little bit to that. But Gainesville is a super small town. I mean, when I was growing up there in the 80s, I mean, it was literally a handful of lights from where I lived out west to University of Florida. Now it's grown a ton, just because University of Florida is so big and the developments, retail developments and stuff, and we're part of one down there too. It's booming. I think probably it's triple the size now maybe four times the size Gainesville is compared to when I was growing up down there.
Gotcha. So moved to Lexington in what year you said?
We moved here at Christmas of 06.
Okay. And then obviously you're sitting on a podcast now that is real estate development and investing centric. Kind of talk about the trajectory of you get to Lexington around 06 and how are you sitting here today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I came here. My dad was a real estate broker in Gainesville, but I never did anything in Florida with it back then. I moved here and just didn't know anything about anything. I got a real estate license, went to work for one of the brokers, you know, residential stuff, just to kind of figure it out. Just I wanted to get into real estate and see what was what. And I did that for a couple of years, and then I just got into, you know, buying houses and rehabbing them, selling them, you know, the whole gamut of it, buying them, renting them, flipping them, doing whatever. Yeah. And then that kind of morphed into some other stuff. Got into some development stuff with a partner of mine, a builder. And we did some land development stuff, a couple of little small deals. And I kind of figured out that was more what I wanted to do. And so I did third party brokerage stuff maybe for a few years.
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
I don't even have a license anymore. It's been years since I've had an active license. I don't even know how long. But yeah, then got into some development stuff and just kind of figured out that was more exciting and just that more so than doing the rehab stuff. Yeah. And it was just a rat race. You know, there were so many people in it and so many people trying to do it. That can be a good thing. It's just kind of wanted to look at a little more bigger picture and, you know, be able to plan out more than just, all right, we're going to flip these handful of houses or whatever this year. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of morphed into, got more and more mature, I guess, as a developer as the years went on.
Yeah. So pretty organically,
yep,
shifted in, knew you wanted to be in real estate in some capacity, maybe had a little bit of background in real estate from watching your dad do it. So at least knew like something about a house, something,
yep,
about a contract.
Not a whole lot.
Had heard the word contract before,
but yeah, then organically, not a lot.
Okay. So then what would you say your title is now, if you have a title, and how would you describe what you do?
Yeah, developer, still invest. I mean, you know, there's people all the time that call me or come across deals or whatever. And, you know, I'm probably a little more patient now than I was 15 years ago on something. You know, you used to chase deals to make, you know, 10 grand or something. And it's just, there's so much time and effort that goes into it that, you know, it's just hard to do that for me anymore. But, investor, developer more so than anything, you know, raw land and taking it all the way through is kind of something I sort of identified as something I enjoy doing. And I've figured out a way to, you know, to do it the way I want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So walking into work on a call, let's say 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning.
I'm not at work by 9 a.m.
Let's say 11 a.m.
Yeah. I take my kids to school and then I go to the gym and then I go to the office. So it's probably closer to 10.
Gotcha.
10:30.
All right. You walk in at 10 a.m. What does a day look like for you as a developer?
You know, we have a development down in Florida that is a large development. We have a partners down there and check in on that. We're getting to the finish line on that. There's usually something to do with that. And then we've got a couple other developments that there's always something to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a one-man shop. I mean, I'm a bottom feeder. You know, there's these big-time developers here in town. I'm not that. You know, I'm just a one-man shop. So, I mean, anything that happens within my business touches my hands. So I got to do everything, you know, pay, yeah, a bill, you know, do the lease, everything. That's me. So right now, you know, I'm looking at trying to fill one little last spot in a building that we're building and trying to prospect a little and find somebody. And then I'm always looking for something to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I may screw around on the internet and PVA and try to look for some infill property that, you know, maybe is underutilized and, you know, it could be redeveloped into more than just one unit or whatever.
Yeah.
Those deals seem to be few and far between now, but, you know, something like that. And then by about 3 o'clock, 2:45 or so, I got to go with the kids and then, baseball practice starts, you know, right afterwards or whatever sport it is. Right now it's baseball practice, but
yeah,
maybe it's a basketball game or wherever. I got one that played middle school basketball. So we'll have a, you know, game in wherever, Somerset on a Tuesday or whatever. Yeah. Got to get down there by 5:30. So I got to help with one of the kids or two of the kids or three of them. So I got one that's getting ready to drive though. That's exciting.
Yeah,
she gets her driver's license. She's old enough to have it, but she didn't take the driving test. So she gets it March 11th.
She probably knows the responsibility. I wouldn't take it either.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, she's like, yeah, I got to take my brother's everywhere. I'm not doing that. Yeah, that's exactly right.
This isn't for me.
Yeah.
Cool. That gives a good picture. What do you, so part of the reason that I wanted to have you on in particular was I knew a little bit about the one-man shop capacity, which is a lot different than some of the people that we've had on, to where really you kind of get hyper niche within your role within a business as a part of a development company, and you don't really have to touch the other things as much. Are there things that you feel like give you life and get you excited about the role that you're in now? And if there are, what do you feel like when you walk into the office? You're like, yeah, I can't wait to do this today.
Yeah, I think there's things I definitely hate.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I don't know why I do it all myself, but I do. The stuff that I really like is identifying, you know, property. I mean, when you come across a deal or you find something and then, you know, your buddies that are in real estate or whatever, and you get a deal and you tell them what you paid or whatever, and they're like, man, well, how did you get that? And you tell them how you got the property. That's kind of the fun part for me.
Hunting.
Yeah. And then, you know, getting the bargain. You can't do anything in real estate if you don't buy it. Right. Right. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you overpay for something, it doesn't matter. Now, I say that. I mean, there's like trophy real estate that if you're super wealthy and you can afford to buy that trophy real estate, or real estate doesn't come on the market very often and you can pencil it. Yeah, that's different. I'm not that guy. So,
yeah.
So the hunt and finding something, and then even if it's something small, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, some 200-acre piece that turns into this big mixed-use deal.
Yeah.
It can be something small. We're doing something small right now that a buddy of mine who's a realtor, Tice McCullough, I'll give Tice a shout out. Tice found this piece of property and he's like, I'll do my best. Tice's voice, like, dude, you gotta buy this. And we end up getting it for a lot less than even he thought I would. Just right place, right time. And seller was in a spot, you know, where they needed to sell. And it's going to turn out to be great. But, you know, we're, like I said, I think I told you before we came on air, and we're going to do 9 or 10 duplexes for student housing. And it's a good location down by Central Baptist. So it's going to go to planning and zoning next month, I think. So.
Yeah. Two things to that. Developlex is sponsored by SV and Stone Commercial Real Estate, a full-service commercial real estate firm located in Lexington, Kentucky, affiliated with the SVN International Network, which is comprised of over 1,600 advisors and staff and 200-plus offices across the globe. The SVN Stone team consists of experienced commercial real estate advisors in the heart of the Bluegrass. SVN provides commercial real estate services to large corporations, middle market businesses, and individual entrepreneurial investors. Serving the greater Lexington area, SVN offers advisory services for sales, leasing, management, and development of commercial properties locally, regionally, and nationally. With transaction volume of over $400 million, the advisors at SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate have vast experience and deep understanding of all aspects of commercial real estate. One, do you feel like any of that hunt or any of that can maybe be drawn back to competitiveness? Like, do you feel a sense of that going back to just being an athlete?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, it's easy to have some, you know, somebody just hand you a deal and, you know, you got access to capital, you know, and having the, you know, the wherewithal to understand what a good deal and what isn't a good deal. And then going and executing and buying a piece of property and, man, all that stuff. But, you know, I think doing something that takes some vision and takes some forward thinking and takes some, you know, take some balls, you know, sometimes that's what's fun in real estate. And probably it is. Yeah. It's probably being an athlete. I don't, you know, accepting a challenge or saying people, my favorite thing is when you buy a piece of property and people are like, you're crazy. You know, what are you doing? There's no way. And that's happened to me before. And then you get on the other side of it and you're like, see, told you.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out fine.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
So that's probably those deals are, again, more fun than just the clean and easy ones.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I will say my second point is I do believe you're downplaying a little bit about some of the scale that you're working on. So we'll get into your projects that you're working on now. I think the one that I'd want to draw attention to would be, I think you had a little bit of vision. It's taken a while for it to come to fruition, but it sounds like you're almost done with the deal. But talk a little bit about, if you would, the Harrodsburg Road project and the success that you've had with that project, and kind of maybe give a background on
how that got done. That was, you know, that's a deal that wasn't like, you know, listed or anything. You know, I live out there. I've got a farm out that way. And I used to live years ago out that way. And I always wanted to get the corner there at Harrodsburg, and Webb obviously had that under contract for a million years.
Yeah.
That was no brainer to know that, you know, that would be a huge success. And now it is. And it's exciting for me living out there to have all that stuff. Publix, I grew up in Florida, grew up on Publix. You know, yeah. People in Kentucky don't know Publix.
Yeah, pub subs.
Pub subs.
Yeah.
I mean, the Buffalo Chicken pub sub, I could eat it every day.
Yeah.
Popcorn chicken. My daughter Coco could eat popcorn chicken. So we get Publix. That's awesome. But there was a guy who's a developer. People who listen to this who know developers will probably remember the name C.V. Ethington. C.V. developed a bunch of stuff in Nicholasville. He was known. There's a group out there in Jessamine County that basically, if you want to develop anything in Jessamine County, it goes through these. This is like four guys. They're like the Jessamine County Mafia.
I was going to say, I think I've heard the word mafia.
Yeah. So CV was part of that. CV was a friend of Jimmy Ball. Jimmy Ball is a partner of mine, has been since I first got into real estate. He and I built a bunch of houses together, and he built them. I was part of the partnership that built them, but he actually did the building. Jimmy taught me a bunch about how to build houses and condos and stuff. So he's been a big help to me. But Jimmy and CV went way back. Of course, CV developed a bunch of stuff out there, and Jimmy built for him. And he called me one day. Jimmy did. He said, I think CV would sell that property. And I was like, really? You know, that was their house. They lived there with Mo Ethington. And he said, yeah, I think he'd sell it. And I was like, well, what, you know, what's the deal? How much? And he gave me a number. We went out there and met a couple times. And I went back to my partners and said, you know, do you think we can do this? And they said, absolutely. So we put together, CV was very, very generous. I mean, he gave us all the time in the world to make sure the development plan would work and that the city would okay it. And, you know, we had a couple different versions that went back and forth with the city. You know, we had one that was originally all retail out there, you know, a shopping center with a, you know, anchored tenant and a grocery. And that was one way to do it. A lot of pushback in that regard. I don't think that would have ever gotten approved by the city anyway. Then we came back with a mixed use, you know, where we buffered and we did residential and then, you know, townhomes and then the retail, and worked with the neighborhood. And, you know, it got tons of support from the neighborhood. There was a little bit of pushback still, but, you know, by the end, I think everyone was pretty happy with the plan that we'd put together out there. And, you know, here we are. We went a little bit slow, but it was sort of intentional. just because there, we knew that there was land around us that was still being developed. And that can be, you know, you look at that and, you know, speed kills sometimes in real estate. And so I think that had we gone faster, not our, our retail portion of it, I think we probably added a lot of value on our retail part of it by going slower, if that makes sense.
No, 100%. I think you've kind of let the momentum get there, is what
and,
it feels
and
like.
And we had, you know, the residential part of it was always going to be first.
Yeah.
And so the single families are, I don't know that there's any, you know, we've sold all the lots or partnered with builders to build all the lots. And I think they're almost all done. There may be a couple still back in there that are getting framed up in the cul-de-sac, but that Jimmy Ball's doing. And then there's a couple of townhomes. I think there's one closes today. I know that actually. I've got to go over to attorney right after this. That
he's actually about to leave.
Yeah, there is one. There's a closing today for one of them. And then the townhomes have been a little slower than I thought, but they've got some momentum now. I think he's gotten another one under contract. There's a builder out there partnered with us on that part of, on the townhome part of it, Grady Stewart, who's built a lot of really nice townhome developments around town. He's building those. And so, yeah, I think that, I think the timing of it probably couldn't have been better, although rates have gone up quite a bit. Other than that, I think it's been good.
Yeah. And obviously that's a kind of a mixed use with some residential and retail. Were there any, like, did you just jump right into that, or did you have any past experience that was, you know, maybe helpful in comprising that kind of development?
Yeah, we did sort of a smaller scale, but, you know, up the street, I developed, there's a Sedona tap house that we still have and a professional office building next to it, and back behind there, we probably did 15 or 18 homes back behind there. Not exactly the same, but similar in that, you know, we had retail out front and residential behind. And then in Gainesville, we have a large mixed use development that's just south of UF's campus. That's got all sorts of stuff in there. And I sort of cut my teeth learning on that. That's a development that's been going on probably 10 years, and we're getting to the tail end of it, but sort of learned, although it's a different market, kind of how the game is played, especially with regards to retailers.
Yeah.
And how that works. And also timing of when, you know, when you want certain things to come out of the ground, as far as how many residential doors relative to the retail square footages that come out simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And that project's a much larger scale, but I think I learned a lot from that. And kind of when we went to Harrodsburg Road, it was always, let's do the retail or the residential part first. And I really thought, I thought the residential stuff would go faster.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Just because at the time, I mean, there was nothing. There was no new construction almost anywhere going on. And then I think probably rates going up and that high end of a home, it was slower, but then they got some traction, and those homes back in there went for, they were $1 million homes.
Wow.
When it was all said and done, you know, that's just crazy to think of.
Yeah.
You know, those would have been 10 years ago, maybe have been 5, 6,
yeah,
maybe at the most. And so that helped us, you know, we got a little more of a premium on the lots because of what the retail asking price would end up being for the homes.
Yeah. My follow-up to that would be just to tie it kind of back into, you know, enjoying maybe the hunt and like putting a deal together. What kind of characteristics about that Harrodsburg? Again, because just to be very clear about what we're talking about a Chick-fil-A, 7 Brew, Kroger Fuel. There's going to be a multi-tenant retail center, and then there's residential behind, so just so everybody knows. And that's right past the new Publix development, which is a very large retail development. What were kind of maybe some of the characteristics, because you saw that early, what were some of the characteristics that you saw in that property that you then were like, I think that we could get? I don't know if you had Chick-fil-A in mind, but you know, were there KPIs, was it just a feel thing? Or
I'm not a very I guess, formal investor like that. Like, you know, I looked at it and I'm like, man, this is South Lexington, you're in Fayette County. You know, I knew just off of feel the traffic counts, right? Mm-hmm. We knew we had a signalized hard corner. We knew that the city was going to ask us for connection to Madrone Way because there was a stub street right to the property. So we knew that road was going to, they were going to ask us to bring that through, which created, you know, another access point into the neighborhood. And then, you know, just knowing the demographics out there, having lived out there, I lived in Beaumont for a few years, and just, you know, seeing the type of the residential stuff in Palomar and what was going on. I had just done a 12 unit townhome development in off of Cave Hill Place, which is just kind of a small little road that's in back in Harrods Hill. And we'd done really well on the townhomes. And so I had a pretty good feeling on what, you know, what we could get on a price per foot retail wise on the townhomes, which ultimately, you know, led me to a value on the townhome lots. And then you just start penciling it out, right? And you know, your site work and infrastructure and all that stuff, and figuring out that we could get 80 plus, you know, residential units in there, and then so much retail land. You know, you figured it was going to be, you figured somebody at the corner was going to be willing to either have great credit and want to go in there and pay a pretty decent number, or, you know, you felt good about that part of it, you know, the corner at least. The rest of the land, I was kind of back and forth on what to do. You know, do you build a couple of buildings and just try to fill them up as just a big multi-tenant center, or try to do an outlot farm, and went back and forth and back and forth on how to do that. And then we just kind of waited. And some of these guys, you know, obviously Chick-fil-A was a big driver. Mm-hmm. You know, when they came in, everybody wanted to come in after them, and it ended up working out. Kroger was surprising.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
And to get that phone call and you know, command that type of a ground lease rent number from them when, you know, there's not even a Kroger there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know of, and I asked the broker, I don't even know of another Kroger fuel that isn't at a Kroger.
That's pretty amazing.
Which is weird that they went there, but I don't know why. You know, they've got one, they've got the Kroger down at Bell. Oh no, that's a different brand. There's the Bell Reve Kroger that doesn't have a gas station.
Yeah, and Circle K.
It's a Circle K. Yeah. Then there's a Kroger in Beaumont that's got a Kroger fuel, but you know, I don't know. They've got a reason why they did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I joke. I do 95% retail real estate, and so but it's a really easy equation for, I think, a lot of the retailers of, if there's a Chick-fil-A committed,
yeah,
you should go there.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see Chick-fil-A miss on many sites.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, then they probably bring
five. How many dark Chick-fil-A's do you see in the country?
None. They might move across the street or something because the landlord's the worst, but
right,
just to stick it to them. But that's about it. And I think the comment that you made is something that a lot of the more successful, it can backfire, but most of the successful developers I know have that gut instinct that you did. You said you're not a KPI guy. I think a lot of the most successful ones that we've interviewed and that I've talked to over kind of the duration of my career have that gut feel. Sometimes it's luck. Oftentimes it's really not. But I did want to have a follow-up question to that. Obviously, you mentioned the fact that you had some time, that CV gave you some time on that deal. What did the process actually look like? And maybe as it relates to time of, okay, we've found this piece of dirt. We know that it's probably going to be a good site. Let's go get it under contract. Are you then going and doing entitlement? Are you going and shopping it to retailers? Are you going ahead and putting development plans together just to give a vision of, you know, somebody that might be listening to this of like, yeah, maybe at some point I could do that. I feel really good about this piece of dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that time time for you as a developer to do as much diligence as you possibly can, and it doesn't cost you any money, is invaluable. I mean, if you can tie up a piece of property, and I say tie up, that always sounds bad, but I mean, if you can get a piece of property under contract and figure out what you can do with it, and really get a sense of true value on the back end of whatever you're going to be developing, and do it for free, that's huge. For me, it just worked out great. I think that CV had a lot of trust and faith in me that I was going to perform on the contract, irregardless. And he wanted to build a house down the street and move into it. So he was like, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving until my house is done. So he was building a house, and, you know, he would just call me every few weeks and say, oh, we got the framing. Come look. And I'd go over there. And I mean, CV is just, he is the greatest guy. I mean, CV passed away a few years ago, and we call the development the Ethington, and CV is a great dude. But so, yeah, we were out, you know, I was putting together a development plan. I was talking to the city. I was actively moving so that when he moved out, we could start moving dirt and start putting some infrastructure in, because that was a super challenging site to develop with, you know, as it relates to the grades. It's all rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spent a lot of money hammering out rock. The whole thing has underground storage, water, so stormwater. So, that's pretty expensive to do.
It's not a cheap process.
Yeah. Ever. And then when on top of that, when it's rock that you have to hammer through to get down there and get the basin in, it's really not fun. So, we were working the whole time. Yeah, we talked to a lot of different. I mean, we probably had LOIs for the corner piece. I probably had five LOIs for the corner piece before we closed. That's when I was like, all right, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that was back before the whole drugstore craziness.
Yeah.
Before they all sold and, they were doing deals left and right. I mean, Walgreens was at my front door, like with a LOI to pay a big number for the corner,
yeah,
and like ready to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't do anything with you right now. I don't even know what we're doing yet.
Yeah.
Of course, then they, that Rite Aid and the whole thing happened. And now those deals are, unless you were like on Main and Main, those deals all just went breaks. Yep. And so they didn't, once we got going, reach back out to them, and they were like, no, we're chilling right now. So, and it's funny, Chick-fil-A, they told us that it wouldn't work. That wasn't a good site.
Did they say a reason?
You know, they started with, it was too close to the Turflin Mall one.
Okay.
And I think once they, I think they have, obviously they have that sophisticated real estate team over there at Chick-fil-A. So they have drive time calculations that say exactly how close they were to it. And I think it was something like 7-minute drive time. You can't be within or something like that. And I was telling them, it takes longer than 7 minutes to get to the site.
I live here.
I know you're in Atlanta, and I know you have something that's telling you it's 7 minutes. It's not 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes to get out there. Easy. And I think actually their team came and drove it, and they were like, he's right. This takes a lot longer to get out here. But I did find out that's the second highest, that Chick-fil-A is the second best Chick-fil-A gross sales in Central Kentucky.
I bet. It's gangbusters.
Crushes it out there. Yeah. So, and they were like, we don't know if we can get to the sales numbers. And I was like, okay, to pay that kind of rent, whatever. And I was like, I think you're going to be just fine. No. It's funny you say that about Chick-fil-A and people, they never really choose a bad site. That guy, who is the Seven Brew guy, that's his thing.
Okay.
He like looks for wherever Chick-fil-A goes, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go right next to him.
Yeah. He's probably schmoozing Chick-fil-A real estate people trying to figure
out. Yeah. He's like, where's your next deal? Because he's wanting to open like hundreds of those things.
Yeah.
And he's like, wherever he finds out Chick-fil-A coming soon, he's like calling that landlord. Or trying to find somewhere close by.
Mm-hmm.
Craftsman Contractors is Central Kentucky's one-stop shop for roofing, windows, siding, and gutters. CraftsmanContractors.com/contact us will get you straight to the form you need so that their team will get in touch about your project. Or just text Stephen at 859-246-0108. when they finish a project of windows, siding, gutters, or roofing, you'll see what they mean when they say we build with integrity.
I know that the rents are on the high side of Lexington. I actually don't know what the rents are in your development, but I know that generally speaking, in that portion,
they are high because all the rock.
I was going to say, where are you deriving the rent from outside of comps?
Construction costs. You know, the best way to get a high rent is to just ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just ask somebody and see what they say.
I like it.
No, you know, I don't really know what down the street is asking, but, you know, that's one of the more affluent demographics in Fayette County. I think it is the most. And so with that, there's a low, you know, there's a certain type of tenant that wants to be out there, and then they understand, you know, the building, it's a really pretty building that we're building. It's not, you know, it's a great building. Brett Setzer's group is building, and it's not your stucco and cookie cutter. It's a really nice building, and it's got a nice presence. It's gonna sit out right at the street level, and you know, you got a lot of visibility there and easy access. It's easy to get in and out of.
I noticed that about the development. I was a little bit concerned when it first was going out there about the development, and it's gone great.
Yeah,
in terms of access.
Yeah, that was obviously when we have, you know, you can go right or left at the signal, which helps, but where we've only got a right in, right out, southbound.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, when you start building that much retail and there's that many cars coming in every day,
yeah,
you know, you worry about being getting in and out. But, you know, the access road behind Coco's Way is what it's called. That's named after one of my kids. Plug to Coco.
Hopefully she gives it a listen.
Yeah, maybe I'll just turn it on at the house and make her listen to it. That helps. You know, and I think a lot more people, now that Madrone Way goes through, you wouldn't have thought that people would use that, but the folks that live out there know that Madrone then connects right to Palomar Boulevard, and then you can go through the neighbor. Like, I go all the time to go to, like, Harry's in Palomar or something from my house, which I live out on Military Pike, just south of here. So I'll go into the shopping center, into Madrone, and then I'll just go through Palomar, and it comes out at Man of War, right by where the Publix is going to be, and then you can just go across the street, across Man of War, into Palomar Center.
Yeah.
And so you got a lot of rooftops out there that use that center that are using those kind of, you know, those roads back in through the neighborhood more so than you think.
Yeah.
And so it really worked. It works good.
Yeah. That makes
sense. Yeah. I don't think we, even with Chick-fil-A, and the city was, that was a big concern with the city, obviously, was Chick-fil-A brings a lot of traffic, right?
Yeah.
But they contain their traffic on their lot really well. And it's easy for, they shoot them back out either to the light if they're going to go southbound, or I'm sorry, it'll shoot them to the light if they're going to go northbound, or they come out and use the right back out to go south.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I'm sure they wanted an access point to their site directly at one point in time.
Yeah, they had that road back behind. And so to bring people in off the two main roads into the backside of the property really helps with traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. And I think probably that was the city. Yeah, I think they may have had you may be right. They may have had another point back there on Coco's Way that Chick-fil-A wanted, and the city probably told them no.
I've never done a retail deal where the retailer hasn't in their original development.
Yeah, they ask for like four ways in and out. Yeah.
Like, hey, you're in Lexington, by the way.
Yeah.
We're not getting a lot of curb cuts here.
Right.
Awesome. So maybe thinking a little bit forward, which is a huge part of the reason that we definitely wanted to talk to you. What are some things, maybe some lessons that you could take from that project and apply to others? And what are some things that get you excited about development moving forward? That can be asset type, that can be project type, that can be the city, anything you want.
A lesson I would learn from that, I would say that no matter how much you think it costs, it always costs more. It always costs a little more. And then what was the other question? Sorry.
And how can you apply that / what do you get excited about development wise in the city moving forward?
You know, I think
for you,
for me, you know, I think there's some opportunities downtown Lexington. I think that it's still an area that's kind of, It's a great, we have a good downtown. We really do. We have a great, I go to other cities. Like I hate, I'm not, I hope there's like not people from Louisville listening to this.
There are. Probably don't worry are. About it.
But like my daughter runs indoor track at this Louisville track thing, which is really cool that they built in Louisville. And then I go to downtown Louisville and I'm like, man, it's a little bit depressing down here. You know, I would like to see somebody in Louisville, maybe me, I don't know. But, you know, we have a great downtown, but I think there's still opportunities downtown. I whiffed on one that I really wish I would have gotten. And I don't know who the guy is that's doing it, but it's funny. He's doing exactly what I wanted to do with the building, or he's proposing it. I don't know where he's at on the stage of it. Right across from Jeff Ruby's, it was a professional office building.
Mm-hmm. The Vine.
And it's going to be residential with like a rooftop pool.
Yep.
It's funny. I swear to you, I told a buddy of mine like 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, because that building's been for sale for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, this would be a home run to do this. And I was like, do a rooftop pool that's like, you got to be a member and this whole thing. And he was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. But he says that to everything. But I think we did actually make an offer. I know I made an offer on the building a couple of times. And then, anyway, it's under contract. I don't know if it's closed yet, but I saw a press release somewhere where somebody's doing exactly that. That's going to be awesome.
It will be.
That'll be killer. They'll do great.
So downtown in general.
I think there's opportunities down. I've got a small building downtown. I love it down here. I love working downtown. I just haven't found the right one. I've knocked on a lot of doors. I just haven't, back to the hunt and being able to buy something right. There's just not been the right opportunity for me anyway.
Yeah. And then as it relates to Lexington, what do you feel like you get excited about with the city?
It's tough, man. I mean, this town's kind of, you're going to have to really get creative as a developer, especially a small developer like me. Yeah, I'm a bottom feeder. And, you got to get creative because there's just not a lot of opportunities if you're not creative and kind of think outside the box. I mean, I think that there's still probably some little infill projects here and there. You just got to find them. And then, I think you and I talked before we came on about, Richmond Road out as it all the way out to 75 over the next couple of decades is probably going to be an area that gets a ton of development. That's obvious. I mean, the city's said that, right? Yep. They've identified that as an area where we can develop. I think that the challenge is that, there's only so many farms that can be, that are in the urban service boundary. There's talk last time about adding some acreage to, I think they did. Mm-hmm. I think they added a little bit to the, the expansion area, the urban service boundary. But I just don't know the next generation or, like going forward, I'd like to keep doing stuff for a while. And I just don't know where that is. And yeah. I think that, the bigger deals are probably, for the bigger guys to do, and the small fish like me, you gotta grind and find stuff, be creative and try to find a way to do something cool.
Yeah.
I think downtown there's some opportunities, hopefully, because I think there's still some real estate downtown that's just underutilized and it's been in the hands of the same people for a long, long time. I think eventually maybe turnover and we'll see.
Yep. I love it. Well, we'll kind of conclude on that. But Jake, seriously, super appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Thanks for having me.
It's
my first podcast.
I love it. That's an honor. But I think it's really important to point out again that, through organic kind of growth is where you got to where you're at today. And hopefully an interview like this gives people a vision of, what they could do at some point in life. So thank you again.